And we are recording.
All right. So I'll recap a little. Aries Working Group call for the 6th of November, 2019. There is the agenda. Please remember, now that we're recording this call, that we must adhere to the code of conduct from Hyperledger. There's a link here. There is also the antitrust policy here, which we have recorded many times on these calls, but we won't read it out again today. If you would edit this document, I guess I can, if someone could paste the document in to the chat so people would know where it was, please add your name to the attendee list. If you're interested, it allows other people to find you and talk to you later. Hang on one sec. I want to be able to see that. So just checking checking the participants list. If anyone is new to the call or hasn't been on in a while, would like to introduce yourself, please do so. Let's take a moment there to do that. So I'll pause and you can find your unmute button and let us know who you are and what you're working on.
Hey, this is Zach Delventhal, starting up with Unveil Social, taking over some of their sovereign and indie efforts.
Okay, good. Welcome. No one else going to jump in? Going once. Okay. Announcements. There is an Aries Workshop Connectathon coming up December 3rd to 5th in Provo, Provo, Utah in the U.S. Dates are confirmed. Please RSVP. There was another Google Doc questionnaire to fill out about food preferences and the like, and probably in getting ready for name tags and so on. So lots of stuff going on in preparation for that. If your company is able to be a food sponsor, that would be awesome. Hopefully we're planning lots of stuff. I think it would be really helpful at this stage. And I'm going to be talking about some of this of that we can get together face to face and make some big progress. That's happened. We've done two of these in the past. They've been highly successful and really interesting to be a part of, so highly recommended. I'm going to take this out since that is several weeks ago. Daniel Hardman is going to be doing a peer DIDS discussion on November 21st, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, SSIMeetup.org. So join in for that. Many of us know a fair amount about peer DIDS, but it's a great time to learn more. And I heard Richard mention, and I'll underline, SSI Meetup has all sorts of good webinars online with lots of topics. We recently went through what Drummond covered from the latest IIW, which was quite interesting. Highly recommended. Proposal to renumber. I think we're talking about that in the agenda, so I don't think we need to talk about any of the announcements. We can cover that at that point. Related meetings. I highly recommend, why don't we, instead of going through all of these, recommend that anyone who missed the call this morning find the recording and spend a couple of minutes. There was some great stuff on IRSA. And updates on various things, the protocol test suite, where Aries Cloud Agent Python has been, and so on. So I'll let others call out. So I'll leave, like I did for the introduction, just leave a call out period for people to jump in and let us know if there's things you want to highlight to do with the work you're doing. So go ahead. If you are in related meetings, you have something to talk about in related meetings or upcoming releases and work updates. All right. One thing I've noticed, have we officially renamed the repos to KMS yet? Has that happened?
Yeah, there's a bunch of things wrongs in that list. So we have so SQLite as a default wallet, that would be incorrect, right?
Okay.
That would be SQLite as a default store key storage.
Oh yeah.
There is also going to be
KMS implementation, right?
Yeah.
KMS plugin.
Plugin, yeah. And then I don't know if there will be an Aries AMS SQLite. And then there's also it's calling for bringing in the Postgres wallet plugin from Indy to Aries AMS, and so that also doesn't seem like it's the same. Talking about the same thing.
I think we could put it as capability, but we're certainly going to need that in what we do. So,
right. That would be your default storage, right?
In some use cases, yes. So that would be the plugin we would use.
No, we use that as well. So we want to bring that over.
Yeah. And maybe we just go. Other than that, does that look all right? Aries VDRI, I believe that's done. Or that's planned.
But yeah, no, we haven't renamed the repo. I'm not sure if we want to do that or if we want to go ahead with another plan.
Sorry, which repo?
It's currently called Aries AMS. The repo that that we proposed to work on.
Okay, so it's still AMS.
Yeah. So, Daniel Hardman, do you think we should change that, or do you think we should keep it for now?
Just changing the name. We can do that right now if you want. I can do it in the next 2 minutes if you want. That's one of the few admin things that I can't do. I can't do a lot of other stuff, but I can change the name.
All right.
I believe we did agree last week on the call that everything becomes KMS. So, okay. Of all of these other topics, as I say, these were all covered this morning. So there was discussion of that. I've updated the Aries Cloud Agent. So has anyone got anything to say on any of these items? Cool. Interesting things going on in the Aries framework, so definitely check those things out, including this 0.1 being done and 0.11 being started. That's kind of cool. Okay. We still don't have a host yet. We still, Sam's not available yet, so I guess I'll just keep babbling away. Daniel Hardman, you are up first on Socialize Test Suite RFC. Do you want me to stop sharing and you can share?
No, I'm just going to verbally talk this through. There's an RFC about the design goals of a test suite. It's not about the tests it's not about the Aries protocol test suite repo specifically, although it's relevant to it, because that would be too specific. What it's saying is we need a test suite in the community, and these are the characteristics that we think it needs to have. The content is entirely made up out of my head, and so you should judge its content on that basis. The origin of this document is that we started a document where we listed a whole bunch of questions. It was a HackMD document, and this was about a month ago. And these are questions like, what's the proper scope of the test suite? What assumptions should the test suite make about an agent under test? How does an agent under test get in a known state at the beginning of a test? A whole bunch of things like that were questions in the doc. And then I brought up this document on several community calls and hoped that I could solicit people to show up and propose answers, but nobody proposed any answers. Mostly people showed up and said, yeah, these are good questions. So not coming up with any answers, I thought, all right, fine, I'll just throw something out there and see if that starts a good conversation. So that's the nature of this test suite RFC, is it proposes answers to those questions. And I would really like the community to weigh in on it, because I feel like we should be committed to a test suite that exercises our interoperability almost more than we should be committed to anything else. If we talk a lot and we write code and those things allow us to make progress on our individual trajectories as companies and so forth, but we don't actually measure whether or not we're coming together, then I think we get a false sense of momentum. So the test suite is super important as an objective measure of whether an RFC has really been implemented, and whether two or three different implementations should mutually interoperate. So please go out and read the RFC and leave comments about it. It's just in a proposed state. Nobody's proposing that it be accepted or adopted right now. Let's accumulate some meaningful feedback about it.
I was just going to comment, Daniel. Thanks. I'll certainly look at that. It's John. But also to emphasize that, this week I'm in Europe and I was at a conference where the security kernel, the maintainer for the Linux kernel, particularly for the security aspects of it, spoke, and he spoke about how important it was to test, test first. It always has to be tested. Testing drives it. So I think that's, I think I'm. That was weird.
Okay, any other comments? Okay, I'm up for the next one, so I'm gonna go ahead. Let me just move my screens around. I'm gonna share something different. So give me a second. All right. Hopefully people can see my screen. Okay, so we have been, BCGov, our team has been working on, building up interoperable demos. We've also been listening and sort of commenting on the work going on about getting Aries Core building underway, but we haven't done a whole lot on it right as yet, because we've been focused on other things, and we're realizing we sort of had some ideas and we started sharing them around last week, and so and the consensus was it was worth having this some of the ideas here and a roadmap proposal shared with the community. So that's what this is about. So this is a presentation. I'll put a link into it there. But basically, I'll sort of cover this as a why, what, and how. So why we want to propose this is the drivers we're seeing. We see lots of momentum in terms of what features we want to put into Aries and and how we want to make it highly secure, privacy preserving, and so on. And we're also seeing lots of momentum in terms of interoperability, people building things and wanting to build things that will work across implementations and things like that. So part of that is we think that there's a need to stabilize a bit what people are implementing, what use cases they're implementing, so that those can be interoperable, so that we sort of stabilize long enough that collaborating groups can produce things like agents and, you know, mobile agents, cloud agents that can work together, so we can demonstrate to the community and we can build up some real use cases, perhaps constrained use cases, but real use cases that can be used. And then the other thing is we'd like to create conditions to, we've learned a lot within the community in implementing the first round of indie agents, building things and deploying them and running them in production or running them in constrained circumstances. But now we've got this sort of inflection point where we're going to take a bunch of things we learned in Indy and create Aries Core. And so we want to be sure that the people that are going to drive Aries Core have the aren't constrained by having it working today, having it fit with the existing things, and that we learn from all the things that we've done in the past, basically year and a half, 2 years. So we really want to enable a focused group of code committers, primarily code committers, to focus on Aries Core. This is going to be sort of a share, less about protocols and more about actually implementing shared code. And so we think that should be a possible focus. So that's kind of the why. What we're proposing and suggesting is that we sort of drive three streams in Aries, that one be focused on using the things we have today in Aries so that we have a stable platform for building implementations that can be set free into the wild so that people can start to use them for their use cases. And those would be interoperable use cases. That we continue to focus on DIDCOM and Aries RFCs, and that we continue to focus on Aries Core, but we sort of separate those three so that Aries Stable does not try to track to the other two, and that the other two don't have to be worried about, well, how are we going to transition the existing stuff to use the new stuff right away? So that's kind of the idea. Stream one is a thing we're called, that the name's been proposed as Aries Stable. And it basically is what we have today. Today we have several implementations of agents, agents that can connect, can use DIDCOM, can use what the beta version, if you will, of Pure did, and can do ZKP-based credential exchange, can use the Indy SDK as the basis for doing a bunch of things. There's a link in here. This goes to a document in the ACAPI repo that is the set of RFCs that are supported in that. But it as we've discovered, with a couple of pull requests from the Evernym folks, is it's not quite precise. What we're talking about here is sort of negotiate an exact list of the RFCs that would be supported in Stable, so that then existing implementations and sort of people building, mobile agents and things like that can drive to that list and know that it's exactly that list that the others are supporting. Get to that point and then sort of evolve that as necessary to support basically what would have to be considered the early use cases to drive adoption. Basically accept that there are weaknesses in the current RFCs, but we have them implemented. Let's build on that for adoption. Continue to evolve that. I'm not saying, we're not saying freeze to that and don't go any further, but sort of amongst those that are implementers decide, okay, let's bump up to this one, and we're going to do that within the next couple of weeks if it's If it has to be a breaking change, then figure out the timing for doing that. And while we do that, learn from the use cases. So test suite, how we do rolling upgrades so that interoperable things continue to be interoperable, even though they're evolving independently. Because although we will declare a sort of a stable set of RFCs that we support, each implementation will continue to evolve. The other thing that I think is really important and completely independent of protocols, or at least mostly independent of protocols, is figuring out what is a great user experience in SSI. What is a mobile client that's really effective that people understand, relate to, and can use?
So, Stephen, I just want to emphasize that it's not, like you said, it's not Aries frozen. It's more like having 10 yard lines, you know, for every, like doing a set of downs and trying to get, you know, we're here now, it's first down, and we want to get, and we'll all agree that we're going to change, we'll move to the next set of downs, you know, time-paced releases so that we're able to stay in sync with each other. That's kind of the idea there.
For all of you who are confused by that analogy, John is talking about that funky thing called American football.
I shouldn't use sports analogies since I don't play football, but time-paced releases.
I'm an American football guy, but most of the folks in this call are probably, you know, English football.
That's true. Yeah. So time-paced releases where we have synchronized sets of changes. It's not like this and forever we never change.
I like the American football analogy because you don't actually get a new down unless you get the ball over that yard line. So we got to get it over each yard line, right?
Yeah. I'd just like to throw my support behind this idea. I think this is really good. This is kind of touching on one of the themes and an issue I previously raised around kind of ring fencing a set of core functionality and calling that core. I think that creates a really strong basis and driving force for people to feel like they have an MVP for interoperability. It's very easy to consume and very easy for them to understand what they need to do. So I support the principle of this.
Just a quick poll. Who would be working on, let's say, the thing called Aries Next? So I know us on the Go framework are essentially doing that. I hope that there is others as well on the protocol side.
John.
Are we gonna end up on our own?
No, I think Troy, it's John from BC. I mean, I've said that, you know, we'll get to that in the next slide after stream two. But you know, we would put forward 2-3 developers to collaborate in that space.
The goal, and we should let the presentation go because I think Stephen's got more to say, but the goal is not that we make people choose one stream that they're on, but that we organize the work around those streams. And ideally, teams would be involved in multiple places.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like you don't, you know, as we talk about DIDCOM and Aries RFCs, we try to get the correct answer rather than saying, well, we're kind of stuck on this and we have these implementations and that would screw up our deployment. You know, we try to separate out those concerns so that we figure out what we want and then figure out later how to bring it onto the implementations. String two. Yeah, go ahead, Drummond.
Can I ask one thing to clarify on that? So I just want to make sure my understanding is correct. The whole idea of Aries stable, right, is it's moving, but it is based on what we have now, right? Or where we are now, where the community roughly is.
Yeah.
Whereas the idea of Aries Next, it's a little bit like a 1.0, 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, whereas Aries Next is about a 2.0. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We would basically use the implementations we'd have, you know, using Indie SDK because that's what we've got that we know is working. And, you know, if somebody adds in a new protocol sort of plugs in that we can use that uses something else, like I was thinking the other day, we could probably do verifications with block certs without you know, having Aries Core in place. We could probably add that as you know, some sort of implementation. You know, maybe that's something we would do, but not, you know, we're not aiming towards staying up to date in Aries Stable with the things we're talking about in the Aries RFC. And then the things we're talking about, in Aries Core. So okay. Aries Core, we hope to be basically free, open, evolvable, ubiquitous, developer-friendly basis for Aries agents. So the, you know, all of the things that we saw as the goals of Aries, agnostic of the ledger, agnostic of the verifiable credentials exchange mechanisms. We hope to see it based on the things we've learned. We hope to have pluggable implementations of things in version of control so that we can have easily plug in different ledgers, different databases, different crypto and things like that. And all of those things are sort of a rethink of where we are today. So we want to give that group the freedom to do that without pressuring them to, oh, we got to get this so that we need such and such a component into Aries Stable so we can do it. So Aries Stable would basically carry on kind of independent of this. So Aries Core is as good as it can be. And we sort of come up with the BSD 4.2, the thing that drives adoption, just like 4.2 drove the adoption of the TCP IP stack.
All right. So again, just to make sure I'm fully understanding. So Aries Core is a core concept of Aries Next, right? It is a way.
Yeah,
of
saying, yeah.
We're going to agree on core functionality that is part of that, you know, that analogy of the BSD 4.2. All right. But we don't have to, with Aries Stable, we're just working with what's there now, and we're going to continue on the sort of the 1.0 product path.
Right.
To use that.
So here's how we would see it coming together is Aries Stable is what we have. We would formalize an exact list of RFCs that we want to support, and then we would tactically evolve that with agreement across the community of implementers. It would be more or less independent of the RFC stream. It would be independent of the Aries Core work. Use what we have and evolves mainly to enable interop and use cases. Aries Next, which Drummond, he read ahead, I'm sure, because he couldn't have figured that out on his own. Aries Next is when Aries Core is really ready, we would update Aries Stable implementations while we're flying. So basically, this would be the breaking change, the 1.0 to 2.0, where we actually fit in all of the goodness that comes in Aries Core and creates it in an interoperable way so that everyone can continue to use their things together. Obviously, no one is constrained by this. This is a completely open community, so anyone can continue to work at different paces of that. But what we're suggesting is that a group of people that are, you know, implementers that are interested would sort of align to this and would release products that work with that. And then Aries Next will figure out, once we've got the Aries Core working and it's got the things we need in it, then we sort of go figure out what impact that's going to have on Aries Stable and how to make that work in the most effective way.
Yeah, like if, for example, you happen to have an API, like I believe the Go framework approach is to have a RESTful API as is ACAPI's. If that API is stable and you can swap out the engine behind it, awesome. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be a big, like a break, you know, a super big breaking thing. And if the protocols on the, you know, northbound interfaces are also the same, then changing in the middle should in theory be doable. But it gives us the chance to re-architect some things based on all of our collective experience.
When I visualize this, I see Aries Next as an engine that's working on figuring things out, both in code and in protocol specs. And then as it spits out things that are well agreed upon, that becomes fodder for the Aries Stable crew to include in a dot release, if you will.
sure, as yeah. they see fit for their independent implementations. The big thing is that protocols are quote unquote stably managed, predictably managed. Maybe it's Aries predictable. You know, it's the protocols that need to move together in a time-based way. That's what facilitates interoperability. How right. you satisfy the middle is, you know, I believe personally that there's a great value to the globe if we can have a code base, or perhaps several, that people can choose to use that implement those protocols, but it's really the protocols that are the focus of stability.
Well, and is it the protocols, or is it the protocols and a test suite that we do work on together, regardless of the code bases that support it?
I mean, the test suite, I think, is a important practical thing to encourage protocol synchronicity. So you can say this test suite matches, you know, Aries stable block. And if you hit that, then you're good. You should be good with anything.
Got it. And we would do the same thing for Aries next?
I think you want to keep those things separate again, is what I'm trying to say. Is like the protocols. No, but those would, the protocols are one thing. The code that implements the protocols is another thing.
No, I got it. It's every time I hear the protocols, I'm hearing protocols and test suites, so that we.
So there's value in, as Aries next work stream spits out a protocol. It's really nice if it also spits out a test, you know, test cases to validate that, that becomes available for the stable work stream to use as it adopts it.
Yeah, good.
So a question came up on Aries Next versus Aries Core. So here's what I see as the difference in what was intended by this. Aries Core is this set of this what amounts to the, you know, the analogy is kind of like the Indie SDK now. So core is code that is created that you embed in your agent. And Aries Next is the next set of agents that come out that are built on top of Aries Core. So Aries Stable, you know, that we're going to be using for a while, will not use Aries Core because lots has to be done to make it usable. It's not going to be ready tomorrow for us to start using. And so when we talk about Aries Next on this roadmap, it's when they next come together again. The Aries Core is plugged into all the wallets. We all start to use it instead of other implementations, and the implementations continue to interop.
Yeah, I think think of Next as essentially a refactoring stream.
Yeah.
But we should all converge around the protocols as we move forward.
Right. Well, that's why I was using the 1.0, 2.0 analogy. That's just classic in product development, right?
You learn
a whole bunch and you say, okay, we're going to adopt this, you know, refactored architecture, and that's going to be 2.0.
Yeah, which just speaks more to product. But here what we're trying to kind of also say, I think, with stable, and I'm thinking out loud here a bit, is that it's also slightly quote-unquote marketing or communications oriented. It's like, as people come into the community, we can say, here's what we understand today, and here's what there are, here's implementations of what we understand today in terms of how these agents communicate with each other, and you can, you know, design experiences around that. And we evolve that in a predictable way. But we're also working on the underlying technology, and that's in the next stream.
What are the advantages of the stable approach?
I guess the first one of this is, just to clarify, this is for code only. So if production instances don't choose to upgrade, how do you plan to handle that? I assume that's...
They stop working.
Well, they don't stop working, but they remain at a compatibility level of a previous version of whatever Aries Stable is.
Because again, the implementation is different than the protocols they support.
Yeah, and that was the second part about this. So in Bitcoin, they've encountered two different types of forks. You have soft forks, which are backwards compatible forks, but invalidate previous blocks.
And then you also have hard forks, which are forced implementation upgrades. Hard forks being more contentious and typically causing divergence of the community. Is the goal here to never hard fork?
I don't think that's a valid analogy, to be honest. I'd think of it more like modems. Like when you get a 1200 baud modem, it still could in theory down.
Oh man, you're gonna lose people on that analogy, John.
Come on, if you don't know what a fucking modem is, you're at, you know. you don't deserve to be on
the record.
It's because it's protocols we're talking about here. We're not talking about a ledger. We're talking about protocols between communicating things.
That's why I'm asking this, is because Bitcoin is a protocol. Ethereum is a protocol.
Yeah.
They've encountered this in both places, and it's caused community divergence.
Yeah, because they're protocols.
Yeah, what we're trying to do, I mean, it's a collaborating community of people who are independent. They can do whatever they want. The point here we're trying to gain is trying to find a way that, you know, we can build something and we can have a mobile agent that works with it that we can use, and we can see, oh, there's another mobile agent, and be confident it will work. If people don't adhere to it, that's up to them. I mean, it's their call.
Yeah. It's like adopting TLS.
We're just trying
TLS
to create a way to do it.
Hey, it's like Steven. TLS 1.3, you know, like once we all agree to move up to 1.3, it doesn't work with 1.2 and 1.1 anymore. It's those kinds of protocols.
Well, Steven, I have a question. I mean, are you looking at Aries Nexus being kind of a sandbox where you can try stuff out and refactor and then feed into stable? Or is this going to be basically a new code line that will eventually replace stable as like a V2 thing?
So stable largely deals with the protocols themselves. So there, and core deals with underlining components within agents. So, you know, how does, you know, KMS, how do keys get managed? How does storage for around keys happen and things like that? Those are, and we think that is perhaps one code base that everyone sort of libraries that everyone sort of uses. And so that's how the two sort of relate to one another. Does that make sense?
I think there's two future portions of work. There's the external, which is development of new protocols or next versions of existing protocols. And there's also internal work, which is the library stuff that Steven's talking about. And
and that's streams 2 and 3.
Right. And that's how that's divided. So if you will, stable is the current combination of protocols and code bases, if you will, although there's more than one. And then we have two other streams of work. One is the development of protocols, which is under Next, and core is the development of libraries.
All of that, some people are going to just take things and build user experiences, like do use cases. And that's why we want to have stable.
So the idea here is that both the libaries work is a future feed into the stable when it's ready, and the protocol work feeds things into stable when it's sufficiently, you know, where they're there, they're ready for the next thing. There's stable protocols that have been spit out that are well agreed upon from that line of work. And then they get together and they decide, hey, here's the next dot release of stable. And we want to include, and we agree as a community that we're going to include these three new things, you know, out of the other work streams. And then there's like a fixed target for people to actually hit. One of the advantages of organizing the work this way, and there's no new work, we're just organizing the existing work we're already doing. But one of the advantages is that it gives us a mark to move code bases up to. We have some code bases, you know, we have uneven distribution of features, and this gives us a fixed mark to build things to. And I think that will promote greater interoperability across those code bases that aren't quite there yet.
Yeah. So actually, Kyle, your last question is I think I can answer that now. I understand what you're saying, and it really is that it's that we come up with a document that says that here are the Aries stable RFCs, exactly this version, exactly this protocol number. So, and it's across all of the protocols. So this is something that Tobias raised a long time ago about decorators. So we're basically saying that we'll agree on a document that lists here are all the protocols that are part of Aries Stable. And then as a group, we'll decide to move that forward together. Obviously, anyone is able to do whatever they want, but they've got to take into account whether they would remain compatible and whether that's useful to them, remain interoperable, I mean, and whether that's useful for them or not. But that would be the mechanism, would be there be this single document that says, this is Aries Stable, and here's a list of the, you know, the commits of each RFC that we support at this time.
Okay, that makes far more sense. I mean, because like TOS is an example, 1.0 is still the majority used implementation of the protocol, even though 1.3 still exists. And so that's why I was wondering this is like, you know, there's plenty of features in TLS 1.3 that aren't in 1.0 that just have never been added in because people don't actually upgrade. But as long as we have a path forward to say, here's a version of core protocols, at least then we're moving forward and we can try and figure out when we run into a problem where it's like 1.3 actually needs to be converted to a 2.0 because it breaks everything, how to handle
that. You know, this is the, you know, the example that, you know, Evernim went to look and talk to Akamai and they found 3 one-line changes in code or, you know, couple line changes in code that meant that Akamai wasn't dealing exactly with the protocols as they were listed. They were more, and that makes things interoperable. How we have to resolve each of those in some way. And this would give us a way to do that because we would just point to what's in Aries Stable and say, that's it.
So the other point of interoperability, I think it's important here, is that the advancing protocols is what keeps interoperability happy. The lib Aries work is not an interoperability point. We're building that because we think it's valuable for the community to have that as a library. But when you slide lib Aries finally in that gets adopted into stable, there should be no protocol changes that actually occur as a result of that happening. So the lib Aries is not an interoperability play. It's together to end up with a really good shared library play. The protocol is where all the interoperability happens. That doesn't diminish anything that has been discussed here, which has been really good. But I just want to call that distinction out, is that the protocol work is important for interoperability, that we work out a way to sort of move forward and have stable targets for protocols. The lib Aries work is more or less free from that concern because it's not a public-facing thing.
Do we expect that lib Aries is going to be a reference implementation, similar to like the C++ version of Bitcoin, but there's still 9 other implementations of it?
Hopefully not 9, but yes.
Okay.
For example, you know, we're talking about really good key management practices. And if someone had a reason to not use the shared library for some reason, and, you know, because they have a weird boss that insists that everything's written in PHP, for example, I mean, quit, obviously. But the second option is that they could look at that as a reference implementation for the good design principles baked into it. But the main theory there is that if you already have a really good library that does all those things, batteries included, you're just going to use the library unless you have a compelling reason not to.
Yeah. So the last slide, and it was, again, into the practical side, which is what I was hoping I was capturing in this, and Kyle pointed out I missed one, but sort of change the meeting structure a little, having one Aries working group call focused on Aries Stable, which as its first task is to say, okay, here are the list of, you know, commits error protocols and commits of those protocols that are the Aries Stable that all of the pieces will build with. Over time, discuss implementations, use case, and interop, and the hassles of, you know, upgrading and how do you upgrade and what problems we see. Oh, what new use cases do we want to support given the constraints that we're using Aries Stable and things like that. And then discussions about saying, okay, you know what, it's really time we accept, you know, I think we're ready to use BitExchange now instead of connection. So let's bump up and change it so that both are supported. One's deprecated and one's supported, and we can support both, you know, those types of decisions. So again, we're not freezing things. We're evolving it, but we're doing it at a pace that works for implementations, use cases, and interop. And then also deal with a bunch of other things like how do you do upgrades? What is the user experience and what are we learning from that? And then how can we apply that in other areas? So a call based on Aries Stable that's primarily focused on implementers, people putting implementations out in the wild. A second call focused on Aries Core that is really about architecture and delivering code. So this is for developers who are building those core components, KMS. We're going to build KMS. How do we make the crypto pluggable in KMS? Is KMS plugged into the storage or is storage plugged into the KMS? Those types of things, and then specifically slinging code to make that happen. Contributing code will carry way more weight in this. Contributing shared code, building a single repo, you know, or a single set of repos we'd like to see is what we think should happen, but that's for that group to decide. And then finally, the RFC evolution will continue on kind of a separate basis because there's talk, right? I think people have mentioned this in the past. There's talk of moving the RFC over to DIF or into another organization's more aligned with doing protocol definitions and so and standards. So that would continue sort of once we figure out exactly where it's going to land. So that's what we would propose is sort of separation of calls. The connectathon would be huge to have start, you know, really big progress on both of these. Ideally, we're not only, by the time we get there in the connectathon, we're smoothing out the details of what stable is and showing that, oh, we've got implementations that work together. And then another one where the developers who are going to really contribute into Aries Core spend their time together and start to build out stuff and have deep conversations about exactly who's building what.
I would add that the connectathon could support a third, first of all, two streams are possible. And there's the potential third stream, which is more of the DedCom discussion, but also incorporate some of the broader terminology work that I know Drummond wants to be involved in.
I can't tell if there's any sarcasm on that or not.
That's not sarcasm.
Oh, good.
Oh,
okay.
You want to work on it?
No, I do want to work on it. Yes, no, good.
No, what I'm saying, though, is there's three areas of work. So Aries Next, Nader just asked, like, how does Next fit into the meeting structure? The deeper answer there is it depends on the progress that we actually have on where the DIDCOM discussions are happening. We would need to support some some Next discussions for protocols that are not part of the things that that we're not proposing move to somewhere else. And so we would need that. There are really three lines of code. It's possible that we could talk about two topics in the same call if we wanted to have one focused entirely on one thing. But I do like separating the conversation streams just because then we end up with a more narrowly focused sort of topic list. And I think we can make more progress along those lines.
So if I could talk about a couple of comments. Cam's comment, it seems like core is what everyone wants and stable is just indie. We rephrase that as it seems like core is what everyone wants and stable is what we have. I think that's more realistic. And the fact is we want to deliver things to people. We want to use this stuff in the wild. And if we're always wondering what to use and where to go, we don't have anything we can deliver beyond what our team can do. We want to be able to take advantage of what all sorts of other people can do so that we can have implementations in the wild that do more interesting things. How does Aries Next fit into the proposed meeting structure? Aries Next can't exist until Aries Core really exists, until we've made progress in that area. Aries Core, Aries Next is where we bring those streams together again for the next iteration of stable. So You know, I don't think we need to talk about it yet until we have a lot better idea of exactly what Aries Core is and then how it's going to affect implementations. Troy, on your comment on the upgrades, I mean, it's protocols. And as you said last week, you know, we've got to implement, we've got to deprecate as we go through and those things. So that's kind of what I mentioned there is figuring out how best to do that. Like we've already figured out that the way we've structured certain protocols does not lend themselves to upgrading easily. And we're going to restructure how we do that. That's part of the learning that we hope to get out of Aries Stable that don't depend on Aries Core necessarily or things like that, but that we can learn and feed back into the stable loop so we know how to release things.
Yeah, so on my comment, I was just trying to get at that the contributors in the framework Go have no plans to implement these legacy protocols. So the framework effectively just becomes next. I think my other comment was I'm hesitant on the connotation that what we have now is stable. I hesitate to say this because maybe it will sound wrong, but I kind of think of this as legacy, Aries or indie legacy even, and I'm not sure that's stable.
I would disagree with that. We're using it in the wild. We've used it in fairly production releases. We can do things with it. We know we can. So difference of opinion on that. I definitely think we can do real case use cases with it. And I think it would be a mistake to wait another year before we start doing real use cases out in the wild and driving adoption until we have the perfect thing. I think we're perfect is the enemy of useful.
So I think it's important to differentiate between the fact that we might still be using libindy at the core and what the protocols are actually speaking. The obvious answer to that is that there is right now some influence that the fact that we're using libindy has on the fact that the protocols are built a certain way. But those are things that are prime candidates to make it into stable sooner rather than later. For example, the DID exchange is likely to be less tied to libindy than the connections protocol, which is a perfect example of an early candidate to move into next. But I think we have to recognize that we do have multiple code bases that are very close to interoperability with each other. And I think to agree with Stephen, it's ridiculous to avoid calling something like this that simply because we have folks that are entirely opposed to using anything related to Indy.
So I raised this in the chat. I was curious what other people's thoughts are. So there's been a proposal that some specs move into this. How does this play along with that? Because this feels like an alternative proposal where everything remains in Aries.
This is Drummond. Let me just say, where exactly the RFCs live for IPR purposes is orthogonal to this whole discussion. It's an important thing. It's under discussion, but it just doesn't seem to have any effect on this. Is there anyone that disagrees with that?
Yeah.
It's a separate discussion.
I somewhat disagree with that because if we're deciding things without IPR again, then it's going to make it more difficult to transition some of those protocols that are being defined in Aries over.
No, that's
it really is orthogonal. Let me add some color, Drummond, and then you can
sure
pick up if I drop anything. Then the what we have in Aries are not specifications; they're design documents around the code that we're creating. The process of turning those into a specification under IPR protection is an important one, but that piece of the work it more or less remains a concern of a particular work stream, even if it's happening externally to the Aries specific calls. And so any process of doing that is good. We should mention that there is no proposal to move all of the Aries RFCs over to another conversation that's IPR protected, only the specific ones that we've targeted for like DIDCOM based, you know, sort of core architecture ones. And those ones, if they move to an IPR protected situation, which needs to happen whether it's DIF or somewhere else if we want broader interoperability, is kind of peripheral to this. They actually work really, really well together because the DIDCOM concern becomes a subset of Next, meaning we continue to use the protocols that we have now for communication. And then as the DIDCOM conversations reach the next sort of labeled version of what they would like, then that becomes something that becomes available for the stable work stream to implement. So it actually fits this model really, really well, regardless of where the conversation happens.
I mean, the main reason I'm raising this concern is because there's clearly people who are not showing up that are paying attention to what's going on in Aries that should be. Otherwise, we're going to end up in basically a forking event where there's going to be multiple protocols, as we've kind of already seen happening. And that's why I'm trying to figure out, how do we get these people participating?
Those people are never going to come to anything related to Hyperledger because of political reasons.
Which is so, where the proposal to move stuff to Diff came into play.
I know, and that's still ongoing. And when we solve that problem, it's not an alternative to this plan. It works very well with this plan.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because, I mean, point one here is formalized definitions of Aries stable RFCs. That sounds a lot like what the intention of moving stuff into Diff was.
Yeah, but the formal – no. We're not going to formalize the – what we're formalizing is the definition of which RFCs are included in stable, not changing –
Yeah, that's got nothing – yeah, that's got nothing to do with what's happening.
It's just a wording stumble. So what we're saying is these are the targets that we have.
I mean, because, like, when I read that, that's what I understood that it was happening going into Diff, and maybe I just misinterpreted what was happening going into Diff, or maybe –
No,
it's a misinterpretation of what formalized definitions of Aries stable RFCs means.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying is I'm trying to gain an understanding because I've raised this point and I have yet to hear back on it. And it was told to me at IIW that the solution would be solved within a week. I mean, you said that to me.
Okay.
So that was my goal, but hang on. Let me separate something really clearly here. The second bullet point on the screen talks about formalizing definition of Aries stable RFCs is not changing any RFCs or any attempt to make them more interoperable. The stable work track would pick the existing RFCs that we already have and bundle them into a specific target that we're all trying to implement. It is entirely separate from the generalization or fixing any problems with the RFCs that we want to do in the future. So all of the work that we've talked about possibly moving to the Diff is fixing problems for the future. This stable thing is just come up with a list of RFCs that we're actually targeting to implement. And if some of those are Aries based and some of them are DIDCOM based, ones over time that come from somewhere else, that's fine.
This is where I'm seeing some inconsistency here is that my understanding was that there would be a formalized specification inside of Diff. It feels like the alternative proposal from this is that we're now going to do this in Aries. And
no,
I'm kind of
no,
just...
No.
No. No. No. No. Steven, take formalize off of that list. So formalize is I think what you're getting tripped off of, and that's not important to what is being said on this. It's choose the list of RFCs that will be targeted for stable. There's not any process of formalization the way that I think your brain is reading it.
Yeah.
To be clear, to agree upon
the
list of
list.
RFCs.
And literally I'm talking commit, but like we're discussing on connection, whether did and did doc should be capitalized or lowercase. It's that level of detail. It's not let's formalize what the list of it's not anything to do with changing anything. It's simply saying, oh, Aries stable. If you're Aries stable, you're using commit 79426 of the connections protocol because it's got didcom did and did doc in lowercase, and that's what we're going to use. It's just purely administrative.
Yeah, that's what I thought a lot of was going on in Diff. So my interpretation of that must have been wildly incorrect.
I think so.
What I understood.
I'm happy to help you unravel this on another call too, Kyle.
Yeah, let's do that, Sam. I don't want to hold this up longer.
Okay. I took way longer.
I think there is a pretty big
conversation
gap there, and I can help unravel that on just a one-to-one call. Okay, so Stephen, are there other parts of this? I think what needs to happen is that we need to now discuss this as a community. By the way, I had an epic Wi-Fi failure at the very beginning of the meeting. I apologize. But I think what we need to have now is a discussion about the various aspects of this plan. And so I propose at this point that we move on from it in the meeting unless we feel that further immediate discussion would help us along. Okay, I'm hearing no one opposed to moving on to another topic. Okay, Stephen and BC Gov crew, I very much appreciate your work in sort of organizing your thoughts here and presenting it for discussion. And let's take this to issues and Rocket Chat over the next couple of days and see if we can tease apart either misunderstandings or ideas or problems with this plan so that we can help sort them out. So, to be fully clear, this is not something we've agreed to do. This is a proposal. And if we can discuss aspects of it that help the work to move the best, then this will happen. I think it's important to highlight that this is proposing how to organize the work we're already doing. It's not necessarily new work, but it gives us some advantages, we think, doing it that way. So if you disagree or you think there's a better plan to help organize our work to get some of the goals that we're going for, then those things, that now would be a really good time to present those. Daniel, are you on? Are you? Can you spend a couple of minutes talking about the proposal to about the discussion to RFC 1 and kind of help everyone be familiar with that?
Yeah, I don't want to spend the 15 minutes that was allocated, so a couple makes me feel good.
You're totally welcome to spend less time.
So there was an RFC that was written. It's RFC number 289, and the general focus of it is, what does it take to establish trust on the internet? And it kind of talks about how at a very foundational level, you need DIDs and how DIDs have to work. And then you need DIDCOM, and then you need protocols like credential exchange and so forth. And then it talks about the need to have some kind of governance strategy. So it's a very, very high level description of what I would call the problem space that Aries lives in. It's not a description of Aries itself. It's a description of the problem Aries is trying to solve, or the kind of thing Aries is trying to be. And the proposal that I made was, let's renumber this RFC to be RFC 1 because it's kind of the broadest possible characterization of what in Aries is all about. I feel kind of discouraged about this topic because I feel like people are mixing concerns about the content of the RFC with concerns about the numbering proposal. I think those should be kept separate. If we don't like the content of the RFC, we could change the content just like we could any other RFC that is just proposed. So there is a ticket. Troy raised some excellent questions in the ticket about how we ought to genericize certain things so that the RFC doesn't take positions that are not neutral. And I think those are really good. But in a separate post, Troy said, let's not even use this. Let's create a new RFC. And I don't know, I'm now kind of feeling like this is a total waste of our time. So maybe it would be nice if the people who haven't read the RFC would go read it and weigh in on what you think. That's about all I want to say about it.
Hey, Daniel, sorry. Maybe my post was confusing. I was trying to get at, I think we should cut and paste from the existing RFC, I wasn't trying to say throw something out. So, as I said, I think there's a lot of good content in there, but there are sections that I thought exceed the scope of a neutral community overview.
It's not supposed to be a community overview. It's supposed to be a characterization of the problem. Describing Aries is not the purpose of the RFC that I'm proposing should be number one. Describing the need for a solution to trust and why any solution for trust has to have certain characteristics to it, like the ability to create decentralized identifiers and reliably test who owns them and whatever. that's the content of this RFC.
Right. So I guess when I looked at it, I already listed my points and issues. I don't have to rehash it, but I would just comment that probably the governance section is far too long for a neutral overview.
So this is Drummond. As one of the authors of that RFC, one of the reasons we publish the RFC is because it establishes just that, that governance is a huge component of it. We're not saying everyone has to agree with it. We're saying if you want to work, if you want a definition of a stack that encompasses all of what's required in the market, here's the definition of the stack. I'm wide open, of course, to, you know, I mean, the whole purpose of RFC is to take in input to improve it. And we could have a whole separate call, we probably should, about, well, why is there so much about governance? But that's one of the reasons it exists, is because there are those of us who feel that governance is a major component and that we need to look at it as part of the whole solution.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to disagree with that. I'm just saying in RFC 1, having a specific governance structure with specific roles listed, I don't feel is a neutral solution.
Yeah, I'd just like to comment as well that I think we're kind of at a point where it might confuse the situation when people coming into this space, and you know, we've got people of different roles and different actors. And the thing is, when I read that document, the audience was a little bit unclear or perhaps too broad for the community I perceived Aries to be. And you know, I think it's incredibly valuable to have a robust discussion about governance and have documents like this live, but I'm of the opinion, I'm not sure it's the place for it to live or for it to be the document that promotes like the introduction into DIDCOM. You know, it's a, we're trying to build a technical protocol that, yes, relies on governance to complete the solution, but I'm not sure prescribing those aspects inside a technical protocol definition yields us much.
I'm not sure there's prescribing, but like, you know, we can do pull requests.
So I think there's two issues here. First of all, I want to highlight that, and Daniel has said this too, Daniel is not the author of the paper. So arguing with Daniel about the content of the paper is not helpful. The authors are listed at the top, and I think that a discussion of that would be good. And the separate discussion is, should we have a number one, and what should actually be in it? There's some conflict about whether this paper is the right start of that or whether it should be a separate one. I think that this writing helps make lots of things clear. The other thing that is made clear to me, and I don't necessarily want to deep dive into that right this moment, but the other thing that I think is clear here is that there's actually quite a wide variety of opinions about what the purpose of the Aries project actually is. From a wide variety of those things, and so I think it may be worth time in a future call or offline discussion, non-call based discussion about what actually is Aries and what the scope is Aries, and so that we can have some clarification there and be a little bit more unified around that. So I don't think this instant is the right time for that conversation, but I think that that's an important thing that we should have. And I'm not going to comment on that to avoid starting a conversation right now. But I will, I think that's a valuable conversation that we'll get in the meeting scheduled pretty quick.
I'm going to also ask that we don't talk about the renumbering because, for example, this morning, then it brought in another kind of like the Trojan horse kind of, it seemed like it was like, oh, we will renumber 001 and we will also bring in 002. And now we're renumbering everything because people think it's convenient.
Well, and that was part of what made this morning's conversation so frustrating. So we can talk about that separately. I think we should continue I think the point of bringing the conversation up was that it helped us realize that was an issue. And the next thing on the schedule is also for that purpose. I'm hoping to bring it up so that people are aware of it and we can talk about it for those that may not have seen it. And that will facilitate the discussion that actually needs to happen in the near future. This is an RFC that was discussed at IW and was written up by the Spaceman ID folks. And this is a formalization of deep linking. And part of this, these concepts originated inside of the invitation, the connections protocol as the invitation step. The eventual goal, for example, for DIDCOM is to point to something like this instead of including it itself. Because we have, and Tobias was one of the ones to realize that, that the ability to deep link is actually useful outside of an invitation phase. And this can help standardize that. And so this will not look very different to folks who are familiar with the invitation step of the connections protocol. But the idea here is that we're able to embed a message into a URL. And there's a couple of interesting things to do. And most of the content in here has to do with nuances of how various mobile platforms actually handle deep linking. You'll notice, for example, that there's a mention of a DIDCOM protocol, which is a much more robust way of passing messages between, for example, two apps on the same mobile device or to an app on a mobile device if one already exists. But there is incredibly poor support for actually discovering whether those protocol handlers or apps are actually installed in the first place. And the idea is that an invitation URL would have a landing page which can guide people to a wallet if they don't already have one. And then there's a process of getting them, if someone already does have a wallet, there's a process of actually getting them there so that they land in the right place. I'm not claiming that what's right in this RFC is perfect right now, but there was a whole bunch of thinking from a variety of protocols, including Tomislav was really useful in the creation of this to help people, to help them understand sort of the various needs, to have happen. And so this discusses the various aspects, the URI that's actually needed, the invitation page that needs to land there and the function that it should perform. And then the deep linking prefix that we're proposing we use, et cetera. And so there's a handful of information in here. I plan a couple of minor updates to this, but the reason I wanted to bring it up in this particular call is that this is one of the dependencies of the DID exchange protocol. We've got to make sure that we get this right. And so the if you care about getting the DID exchange protocol down the road so that it can be something that makes it into next sooner rather than or to stable sooner rather than later, this is one of the areas that we need your attention. And there's definitely improvements that could be made. And issues related to this would be an appropriate place to make that happen. And reaching out to the authors or other people that you know are involved as you're discussing modifications would be really useful. Are there any questions generically about this RFC? I hear no generic questions. Is anyone off the cuff massively opposed to what's being proposed here?
I generally like what's being proposed, but I don't think there's enough detail in this. I was shocked when the tutorial only had half a page of text.
I concur that there needs to be more detail. One of my action items is to come up with a list of what types of details I think are missing and what types of examples might be really useful in this.
I think this was fantastic work as well. And I had every intention of just been trying to actually marshal support in the DIF community for consolidating against an agreeable format universally. And so just to clarify, obviously Tomislav made a great example defining the fact that we could use a domain name and HTTPS-based URI versus a one with a custom scheme. Without going through this detailed, are we kind of defining that we would have two? Or what
two
is...
Two of the domains or two of the custom protocols?
Yeah, so one that's an HTTPS form and one that has a custom URI?
So this is designed by... intentionally to allow the existence of multiple domains, multiple. I believe it's called the invitation page down here. Invitation may be the wrong word here, but this is the page that someone hits if they don't already have an agent that can speak that. So we're not proposing that there's DIDCOM and then one specific one. We're proposing that that when one is used, it should have certain properties. And this allows for people to create one if they would like their own for whatever economic reasons they want to. And as long as it follows the protocols designed here, it's not going to matter much from a user experience. What it does give you the advantage of is that if you, for example, are an agency and you are producing a message and a link like this, it gives you the power to basically market your own solution in advance. So when someone is using your own platform and you generate a URI for, like this, it allows you to encourage other people to install mobile apps as well. Although that's certainly not required. I imagine that there'll be a couple of generic ones that emerge that you could use if you didn't want to host your own, and you would be able to have those advantages of it.
So just to clarify though, with this invitation URL, we've dropped the scheme off that URI. So what is the implication that it could be HTTP or HTTPS? And if you combine that with DIDCOM, would it be DIDCOM:// with a normal authority like acmecorp.com, or that's, yeah.
So we should use example.com because Acme Corp actually is a URL, but the intention here is that this is HTTPS based, and that's one of the details that actually needs to be in the RFC.
Okay. And so, but we're also saying that there may be a new deep level scheme out of DIDCOM, which may have an alternative format. Like it might not have an authority. It might just be the message straight after the URI qualification.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. And again, these are details that need to be more explicitly defined in the RFC.
Okay.
Other comments or questions? Okay, my purpose was to bring attention to this as a dependency, and so this will help us to make progress on all these topics. We've discussed a lot today that is relatively controversial, and I would encourage you to be active in discussions. And it takes time to be able to go check into issues and to follow conversations in Rocket Chat. And I would encourage you to be both respectful and actively engaged in the community so that we can help resolve some of these important issues. In particular, I care very much that people feel like their voice is not being silenced, because that's not helpful at all to any of us in the community. And so if you feel like there's an important issue that is not being raised, I would encourage you to raise it and to bring it up and talk about it. The more clearly you can articulate what your objection is, the more directly we can the community as a whole can respond to it. And so that we can move forward in a way that is both productive and has all of the right attributes. We're not unfairly favoring one particular solution over another or anything else. So I know we can get kind of passionately discussing these things, and it's not because we're all mad, it's because we all really care. My plea is that we're actively involved and that we can take time to think through and understand our own objections and do our best to clearly articulate them to others so that we can move forward in the concepts that we are all trying to promote. I've been incredibly impressed with this community and what we've actually accomplished. And I'm grateful to the work that all of you do, not just from a code perspective, which is obviously very valuable, but from the conversations, from the discussions, from the involvement that you have. And I in particular, and I know that all of us are, but I in particular, I'm very grateful for all of your involvement. One of the areas that involvement is welcome, is in helping to choose the topics for future meetings. That's a thing that Stephen and I kind of try and do, and we try to pick relevant things. But additional feedback about things that you would like discussed so that we can get it on the schedule is very, very valuable and always welcome. And so I've been trying to, it's been a little hard this last month with some travel, but I've been trying to get the meeting page up sooner rather than later so that people can have a chance to suggest things and to get links and other details in the wiki for the meeting page. And so I will try and continue to do that so that it can be a useful resource for us. And anyway, that's my parting words for today. This is not, some of these topics are not easy, but they are valuable and I'm grateful that we're having them. Is there any final feedback or does anyone have any particular topics that they would like discussed next week before we break for today?
I just wanted to say, I wholeheartedly agree with everything you just said there, Sam. What I was raising there was a point of contention that I've been trying to toy with for quite some time. And him and I are going to work that out. But as he pointed out, you know, it's not because, you know, I have a disrespect for anybody here. I greatly respect everybody who's a part of it. That's why I'm still in it. That's why I chose to come to a second company to stay in the community. You know, I agree with everything that you said, and I just want the best solution. So, you know, it was passionate debate, but, you know, I'm open to working to resolve these things so that we can actually get outcomes that everybody wants.
Thanks, Kyle.
Sam, this is Drummond. I know we're just at the very end. I'm just wondering, is there going to be any particular work on these calls between now and the Connectathon to prep for the Connectathon? I'm just sort of wondering how we can maximize the value of our time there.
Yes, there definitely needs to be. And the fact that that hasn't happened yet is mostly that I spent a week traveling, which is always really, really great for productivity. And I haven't caught up yet with everything that I need to do. Part of my, the rest of this week and before the next call will be spent organizing thoughts on how that is best done. One of the things that I'd like to do is using the Zoom feature of sticking your hand up. Will you raise your hand if you are planning to come to the Connectathon in December? It'll help us get an idea of who is coming and what types of conversations we can have. All of your hands are blue, by the way. I don't know what that means, but it's kind of funny.
IBM blue, of course.
IBM blue? Or is that a trustworthy blue? Blue is a trustworthy color, apparently.
Oh, maybe that's it. Note that I might only be able to be there 2 of the 3 days. I'm working on that.
Partial involvement is better than no involvement for anyone that is in the same circumstance. Awesome. We're really looking forward to the event. I like the idea of that there's more work to be done than just these particular protocols. I'm excited because we're actually in a place. Last time we weren't even in a place where we could talk about credential exchange. And I think we're well positioned to actually have a bunch of really useful credential exchange stuff happening at the Connectathon. And so that's a huge step forward from where we were. And there will also be lots of conversations about, you know, organizing our work and what's next. With the whole mission of the Connectathon is to promote compatibility amongst the various parties that are involved here. And so there's a variety of ways of work that will help that to happen. That's pretty great. Feedback, I will get some stuff posted, poke in the chat, post, English is hard. I can post it in the channels and I'm looking for feedback on that sort of a thing. Well, as well, there's no fee to come to this. We have sponsors that are picking up helping with logistics and picking up the cost of the buildings. It is very helpful for a conference like this to be able to have particularly lunch on site and other types of interaction. If you're in a position, you work for a company that can do some supporting of the event, we would very much appreciate help there. There's not a money maker. There's no fee for this event. We're just trying to get together to help things happen. It worked really well last time, and we're hoping that we can have even more success this next time. So And with that, we're about out of time. Thanks everyone for coming. And we'll have a lot of good stuff happen over the next couple of days of everything. Also, thanks for everyone that like picked up and got the meeting going. I had a pretty epic Wi-Fi failure right at the beginning that was incredibly frustrating. So it was really nice to be able to drop in late and have everything just happening the way that it should have been. So I appreciate everyone making that happen. So with that, thanks everybody, and we will see you on Rocket Chat and next week.
Thanks, Sam.
Bye, everyone. Have a great week.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good week.
Cheers, guys. Thanks. Bye.